it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on Sports Talk. Welcome on in, folks. We're getting ready for the Saints Hour coming up in just 15 minutes, 7 p.m. here on WWL and the Odyssey app. You can join Mike Haas with Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis, and also Saints legend Teron Armstead, this week's edition of the Saints Hour. You won't want to miss that. Sit down with Haas and Mickey Loomis coming up at 7 p.m. We're waiting on our fantasy guests. We're not able to connect right now. Wanted to talk about some of those waiver wire additions going into tomorrow when they'll be cleared. And I got to imagine, Charlie, that one of the big ones, though, is going to be wide receiver Quentin Johnson for the Chargers after his performance.
So one of my buddies has QJ's stock in a dynasty league where okay. He used a first-round draft pick on Quentin back on a rookie draft a couple years ago, because I think Quentin was a 2023 draft pick, right, for the Chargers, the mm-hmm. first-round selection. He really popped off. I mean, I don't know if that's sustainable for him in the future. I think maybe, Justin Herbert was cooking in that game. We talked with Mark Schlereth about how good the Chargers offense looked, even without Rashawn Slater.
Right.
Where they just moved Joe Alt over to left tackle, and he's like an all-pro at left tackle right off the bat. He's unbelievable. And then Justin Herbert was comfortable. He was in command. He was slicing and dicing that Chiefs defense. And really, when it came down to it, and you're kind of holding your breath if you're a Chargers fan, because the Chargers are known to lose these tight games, and the Chiefs are known to win all these tight games, and it's a one-possession game late, third and long, and Herbert runs for a first down. He uses his legs to pick it up right at the very end.
Yeah.
Quentin Johnson's an interesting one, man, because I think I would, like, some people are probably going to hop on it. If I'm, using my waivers, which sometimes I refuse to do because I like the players that I drafted and I don't want to drop players too early.
Sometimes it becomes a necessity for you, though.
Yeah, I mean, if you have injuries, right? Like, that's the big thing. But Quentin Johnson, I just kind of have to see it more. Like, if you can do it next week and have a really nice performance in their week 2 matchup on Monday Night Football against the Raiders, okay, you might be cooking with some gas here, QJ, but...
You know somebody's going to be grabbing him this week, though, after that week 1 performance, though.
For sure. And I still think Ladd McConkey is the guy right. in that passing attack. But if Quentin can kind of step up and be that 1B, listen, man, the Chargers might be one of those sleeper teams in the AFC. We'll just kind of have to see how it all plays out.
Talking about some of the highest rated Saints players in that game against Arizona. Now, according to Pro Football Focus, looking at the offensive side of the ball, Alvin Kamara, no shock there.
Nope.
Chris Olave.
Okay.
Kelvin Banks Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Spencer Rattler. And Eric McCoy.
So that was something I just got done speaking with one of our listeners about that. Kelvin was great in his NFL regular season debut. I mean, he was just plugged into left tackle, Steve, and right off the bat against Arizona's defensive front, he was locked down. And when you're not saying an offensive lineman's name much, they're typically playing pretty well.
Right.
Kelvin Banks looked great. He looked the part of an NFL left tackle.
Unfortunately, on the other side of that,
yeah,
downgrade.
Had a bad day.
Man, I was worried about the left side of the O-line. It was the right side that was a problem in week 1.
Well, Ruiz has been a problem throughout the preseason, and that kind of stuck
out. And then
out
I'm worried about Fuago dealing with an injury because he wasn't looking right.
Yeah, it was a knee issue for him, apparently. I hope that Fuago's okay. I still feel good about Fuago in the future on the offensive line there, but you saw some really positive things early on from Kelvin Banks. And you've seen it throughout the preseason as well, but just seeing it once you get into regular season action and the way that he was able to just be on an island at left tackle in his first NFL start and look really, really solid, look the part of a true NFL left tackle immediately. That's awesome to see for Kelvin Banks. Now, with Wonga, like you said, not a great performance from him, but at the same time, I'm not really panicking about him just because the type of potential that he has, especially playing his, quote-unquote, natural position at right tackle.
There were a lot of penalties, pre-snap penalties, that were on the offense in that loss to the Arizona Cardinals. Eric McCoy, guilty of 2. You'll hear from him right now, taking full credit and, you know, taking the blame on his shoulders more or less for that as being the leader of that offensive line. Let's hear Eric McCoy post-game from the Arizona Cardinals.
How did you think the operation went on outside of that? I mean, penalties are obviously a big story.
Yeah, I thought things went well for the most part. I mean, our defense gave us a chance to win it at the end, or to tie it at the end, win it if we wanted to. Yeah, we just ended up not getting it done. I thought things went well. I thought up front, assignment-wise, we were on point. Thought we protected well. Thought we blocked well in the run game. But at the end of the day, like, the bottom line was the operational errors. And that put us behind the sticks. That hurt us. I had two of them, so it starts with me.
What did you think of Austin coming in for college?
Yeah, I thought he came in and he did really well. Especially in those two-minute situations. Him and Steve had great communication. They passed him off twisting games. So I thought for only being here, what, 2 weeks? A week and a half, that he came in and he executed at a high level.
Did seem like, obviously the penalties can't happen, but the response to the penalties did seem to be effective. Like, there were situations first and 15, you make a yeah. yards, like, what is the situation? Yeah.
No, I think it just shows the resiliency of the team. Like, next play. I mean, it's going to haunt me for a while, the two that I had, but, like, next play. Next play mentality, and I thought that we executed that well. And I feel like that we got out of those situations at a decent level. We just had too many of them.
Which two did you like? I mean, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, yeah.
Call it on you as opposed
yep,
to.
Yep, yep, yep. So we had the one where it, I don't know what happened. It might have hit him in the chest and everything was kind of scrambled. That was on me. And then there was another one where we were tempo and I didn't hear the cadence. Yeah. So, and everybody else moved. Or the majority of people move besides me. So, yep.
I'm not trying to get you an out or anything, but like, how much does week one affect that? Like, are these things that over time you iron out, or a lot of it just, hey, we're making mistakes?
I think it was just us making mistakes. At the end of the day, I've been in the NFL for 7 years. So like, game one, game 81, 91, like, that can't happen by me. So, yeah, it's something that I think that will get cleaned up this week.
So, you know, the other thing that happens when you're a winning team, those are mistakes, and when you're an undisciplined team, that's coaching, like, undisciplined, you know, how is that not a reflection of the team being prepared?
No, it absolutely isn't. Like, as individuals, we have to take responsibility because we're the ones that have to go out there and execute. And I said it earlier, I take full responsibility for my mistakes on those because it was my fault. So it has nothing to do with coaching, nothing to do with head coach, OC, O-line coach, none of that. That's me as an individual not executing to the level that I need to execute.
What did you like about how Spencer handled the whole game, but in particular the fourth quarter?
No, I thought he handled it well. I thought that he got us in the right plays, right protections. At the end of the day, we just have to finish it. I feel like our defense did a great job of even giving us a chance. I thought Spence operated the two-minute drill to the highest level that he could.
You're playing from behind the second half, kind of get away from it a little bit. You did mention the run game. It did seem like that was ineffective. Kind of got everything settled in, like what was working.
Yeah. Honestly, I thought the majority of our stuff was working. I thought our inside zone was working. Our gap schemes were working. I thought that our QB runs were working. I thought we were getting positive yards on all those plays. So I think it's something for us to build up that we can build off of.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
No surprise there. Saints center Eric McCoy shouldering a lot of the blame there as one of the main leaders of that offense, definitely of that O-line unit. And, man, the penalties were definitely concerning. You want to wonder, Charlie, if dealing with a lot of that up-tempo play helped cause much of that because, you know, those issues weren't so glaring in the preseason.
You heard Eric say it there, though, Steve. He talked about the up-tempo and that one of the penalties was because he didn't hear the cadence during the up-tempo play that the Saints were running. So, yeah, I mean, there's take and give to everything, right? So there's a reason that there's the C on Eric McCoy's jersey, the leadership qualities that that guy has on the Saints offense and specifically that offensive line. We had too many mistakes and it's on me. He's putting it on himself. And that they're going to go to work and get better because that offensive line, like Abear has said a million times.
The investment you've made, right.
It's got to be the strength. By the time you get to the end of the season, that unit's got to be elite with how much draft capital you have sunk into that front five. All the first round picks, the second round pick in McCoy, who's, you know, played above that draft selection. Having him up front, you feel good about them figuring it out because you got that leader right at the center spot in Eric McCoy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly, but you know what, why it's not outside of Cleveland, you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.